A resounding victory for Edward Snowden. That's how Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell described the passage of the USA Freedom Act late yesterday. Not everybody agrees. The legislation has been signed by President Obama. It will phase out the NSA's bulk phone records collection program over the next 6 months. Instead, phone records will be staying with the phone companies, and the government will need a warrant to access them. Stuart Baker is a partner at the law firm Steptoe & Johnson. He was the first assistant secretary for policy at Homeland Security and earlier spent 2 years as the NSA's general counsel. He also publishes a podcast on cybersecurity law and joins me now to talk about what's next for the NSA. Mr. Baker, thank you for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
All right. So what do you think is going on inside the NSA at this moment now that they still have 6 months to end this program? But what do they have to do to reverse something that has been so deeply entrenched now?
It's a database. All they really need to do to shut down the program is to, in fact, they already have shut it down. They'll actually probably be bringing it back up for the next 6 months. The trick is, how are they going to get this information, or actually, how is the FBI going to get this information? Because it's not clear to me that NSA needs to be deeply involved in it from the phone companies. And that will be a tricky IT exercise because there are so many phone companies who keep their data in a variety of different ways. In addition, if you remember, the way this program works is you identify someone abroad that is a terrorist, and then you are looking for people in the United States who are calling that number because that's inherently suspicious. And then you want to find out who the people who are calling that number are in touch with in the United States. Very much driven by the 9/11 experience, where it was a pretty widespread conspiracy among people who had come to the United States, who were in touch with each other, and who occasionally called a Yemen safe house and the like. The trick here is that when you have all the data in one database, you can very quickly find the person who made the call, just ask the database, did anybody call this number today, and then quickly say, who did that person call? Everywhere in the United States, and who did the people that he called call? So you can do those searches one hop, two hops, even three hops out pretty easily. But if you're dealing with multiple different phone companies, you've got to get a list of everybody who was called and then go to the phone carriers for each of those numbers and say, who did this person call? So the construction of a social graph for a potential terrorist is going to be much more complicated than it was before.
And earlier you just mentioned the FBI. So what is happening domestically, that is the calls that are made to the foreign number coming from the United States, that's really has not been the NSA's concern. That's been the FBI's concern, correct?
The reason the NSA put this together is because they picked up a call to a Yemen safe house by one of the hijackers, and they didn't know it was coming from the United States, and they had no way of quickly finding out that it was from the United States. So they built this system so they would never be caught like that again. That's their principal interest in this. They're mostly interested in looking at foreign intelligence rather than what's happening in the United States. And that's one reason that the FBI ended up serving these orders, because they are much more focused on what's happening inside the United States. I think this, the USA Freedom Act, just pushes the FBI further to the front, and I suspect the NSA will become simply an IT advisor to the FBI. They may run this program just because they have the IT expertise, but there is less and less connection to their overseas intelligence collection authorities.
So it almost makes an air gap between something that was more integrated until midnight the other night.
Well, Fair enough. This is a gap we've always had because so many civil liberties protections kick in when you start dealing with the United States. And we thought we had learned a bitter lesson after 9/11 that people knew how to exploit that that gap. But we are reinstating a gap, and unfortunately, there is a risk that it will be exploited by ISIS or others.
I guess it's impossible to prove a negative, but do you think the NSA made the case that this was important to national security? Because there have been some foiled plots in recent days. There was one just the other day in Boston. But how do you prove a negative, I guess, is really the question for the national security apparatus at this point.
Well, as is typical for civil libertarians, they sort of loaded the test. You had to show that but for this program, a plot would not have been thwarted. So they dismissed all of the cases in which this provided valuable confirmation or allowed the government to rule out a domestic plot. They said, oh, that doesn't count. That's no good unless this has thwarted a plot. Oh, it doesn't count. And also, I think this whole system, as I said, was built to stop a 9/11 type plot where people could recruit and train and prepare for a very sophisticated multi-person attack from people sent to the United States. That was 9/11. But it depended on having a safe haven for the terrorists to do all that in. And what we have done for 10 years is take away the Afghan safe haven, the Pakistani safe haven, so that there really wasn't a possibility that large numbers of apparently westernized folks could be recruited and trained. And so you wouldn't have expected that there would be a plot of the kind that this program was designed to stop when we were in Afghanistan in an aggressive way. The irony is that we're getting rid of the program that's designed to stop safe haven attacks just as a new and big and very dangerous safe haven has opened up in Syria and Western Iraq.
We're speaking with Stuart Baker, a partner at Steptoe & Johnson and former general counsel at the NSA. So the system you've described that remains seems like there can be almost workarounds and hand-carrying between FBI, NSA, and within the FBI itself, but they also have to deal with the phone company carriers now. And so it seems like they could recreate the functionality of the old system, but it would take much longer. Is that a fair way to characterize it?
It's going to take longer. At one point, when somebody was saying, well, this USA Freedom will serve the same purpose as the existing program, I said, well, yes, and going to the library will serve the same purpose as looking things up on Google. And if you're content to go to the library instead of using Google, you should be quite happy to see the government forced to use the new program. It will be less efficient. It will be less effective. And frankly, it won't give anybody any more privacy because there were lots of privacy controls on access to this data. So to my mind, this was privacy theater and privacy theater that will do us some real harm from a security point of view.
And what about the carriers themselves? Do you think that the NSA or the FBI have any sway to get them to maybe pre-stage the information or store the metadata in such a way that the formats are matched in some manner?
Yes, the act does create a certain amount of jawboning and protocol homogenization incentives. So there will be discussions with the carriers about how to make their data searchable in ways that are consistent with other carriers. There's no guarantee that that will happen, but there is some incentive for that. There's no incentive to keep the data any longer than they choose to keep it for their own commercial purposes. Proposal to say that companies should notify the government if they were going to keep it for less than 18 months was on the Senate floor and was defeated. So there is a very substantial risk that at best we'll end up with 18 months worth of data to search, and maybe substantially less than that for some companies.
And so do you think at this point the NSA and the FBI and the other involved agencies will rehearse the new procedures in the 6 months they have, so maybe they can get good at it by the time the plug is really pulled?
Yes, they're going to have to do that. The administration and members of the House and proponents in the Senate of this bill all swore up and down that this could be done in 6 months. They defeated an amendment that would have said, well, why don't we make sure by not having the switch over until there's a certification that everything's working from the intelligence community. That was defeated. A suggestion that the deadline be moved out to 12 months was also defeated. I don't know. We do this podcast on cyber law every week, and I recently asked a group that we were doing it in front of, if your IT guy told you, I will have this project done in 6 months, would you bet your job on it? And nobody raised their hand. So I think it's going to be a tough job. It could be done, but it depends on getting multiple private companies as well as the FBI and the NSA IT experts all to work together very effectively.
Stuart Baker is a partner at the law firm Steptoe & Johnson. Thanks so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure.